great. How exciting. We're finally here and we're only 4 minutes late. Thank you, everyone. We came up here this weekend to decorate graves. If you've been to our Facebook, you'll see some fun pictures of little Lincoln with a pair of scissors trimming the grass around my Grandma Hansen's grave. It was great to have everybody up here. Ramona and I decided to stay here for a couple of extra days. This summer, we are going to be renting this cabin, and we had a fun friend up here who was taking care of it for us and said he thought he could rent it for most of the summer, and sure enough, he did. We've got a few select nights that we'll be able to come up, but it's going to be gone after this weekend, so we wanted to take advantage of this time. Thank you, sweetheart. As you can see behind me, you can see Clyde the moose. Everybody see that over my shoulder? Clyde up there. There he is right there. For those of you who are on the video, Clyde has antlers that are 64, 65 inches wide. He came out of Alaska. I happened to hunt for him on what's called KSL.com. I don't like to kill animals, but since he was already taken, it's kind of a fun thing to have in the cabin, and it's great to have all of you here with us tonight. It's very interesting that we're here having this conversation tonight about goal setting. And for those of you who are with us just visiting, we want to welcome you tonight in this conversation about goal setting. Each Tuesday night, we have a celebration of life. And in that celebration of life, we take on one of the six qualities of an intentional creator. We started with the art of connection with people and the seven principles of intrinsic validation. Then we moved on to using our mind constructively. This is mental creation. And we're finishing up this piece tonight. If we learn to use our very vivid visualization, our minds, constructively, we can ignite passion, passion that will drive our focus and discipline and effort and action. That we could bring into the here and now in physical creation. And that will allow us to work passion and driven. Work no longer becomes boring and mundane and repetitious. It's much like the last few nights where I get up at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning and sit here in the living room in the quiet and just write. Passion driven. This is how we're supposed to live. Then we learn to let go of let go of resistance and rebellion and resentments and work with discipline and structure. I have discovered that some of the things I really want are right behind the very things I'm resisting. It's so interesting. Every time life presents one of those learning opportunities, almost always we're going, if we're really honest, you know what? I'm here because this is something I need to work on. And without this opportunity, I probably wouldn't do it. And if I resist doing it, there's a good chance I'm going to have many more opportunities, a very good chance you'll have many more opportunities to take on that challenge. So if we're in the middle of one of those moments, let's figure out why we're here, what is it we're supposed to learn, and just start pressing through and applying the principles to take that on. We then go to finding joy in the journey. We talk about partnership. And we just saw partnership in action with my sweetheart. She's upstairs wrangling another source for this coat for tonight, so we were able to find that and get everybody on the call. How exciting is this? And then we talk about gratitude. How can we be grateful for what we have if nothing that we have is showing up the way we want it to? Can we want more and still be grateful for what we have? How do we do that? It's one of the things we discover in finding joy in the journey. And lastly, self-esteem, healing self-esteem. What causes self-esteem challenges, and how do we heal self-esteem? And we're going to find when we get to that section that healing self-esteem has a lot to do with learning how to connect with people, because when we do so, we're in partnership with the force of creation itself. We get inspired ideas, impressions, solutions to problems, and we act on them. And we discover that they are absolutely powerful, important, things that we might have been missing, things that change lives. It's then that we know that we're known. We trust and are trusted. Well, I'm catching my breath. I've been writing all day today. It's been just a thrilling day. We've got a new newsletter coming out tomorrow. Watch for it. It's got the second chapter of the book, Miracles in Retrospect. An opportunity for us to use my life experiences for you to safely examine your own. I just finished a chapter on the day that I made the decision that as a company we were going to go deeper. We were about 2 years ahead of the curve. We had the opportunity using the intentional creation assessment to step into people's worlds and find out what was really happening in terms of their habits of thinking and what impact that was having on their lives privately and secretly. And we found a lot of people on edge, emotionally, financially, in their relationships. It was clear that we were headed for something rather serious. And even though it was not yet visible to the naked eye or visible in the stock market or in real estate values, we went into a very urgent process of intentional creation. We call it the seven habits of something. I'm trying to remember it this afternoon when we first started. We were struggling to give it a name. But what it was really an opportunity to meet you where you're really living. If you're having a dark night or know what a dark night feels like, Og had those dark nights. If you read the first chapter, I talk about Chad Hymas, the day that the 2,000-pound bale of hay fell on him, and he had his dark night. Good friend Michelle Eborn, when Chris was passed away after doing a triathlon. Jim Hennig, fighting through his illnesses and finally getting his heart transplant, only to find out he now has Parkinson's. The Goodman family. Many of you know the Goodman family from the Salt Lake area. They were singing all over the world. They performed for the UN General Assembly. They had a private audience with the Pope. Three of their kids were killed in a car accident one Sunday afternoon. Tragic. I had the privilege of writing and directing the TV show commemorating the first year anniversary of the death of those children. What a tender, tender experience. We all have those moments. And even though we all look okay, and we do, I look okay, don't you look okay? What do we say when we see somebody? How you doing? Ah, fine, you fine, I'm fine, everybody's fine. But this program isn't about being fine. This program is about meeting you where you really are living, really living. Not to expose something negative, but to get truthful about and honest about what really is, so that we can start putting into place the building blocks to lift us out of those dungeons of despair and discouragement. We talked about this briefly last week. We know that over here on our left-hand side that we have that dark dungeon. I told Ramon today, sometimes it's on both sides. Ramon just reminded me that I need to press record. So now we're recording as we get deeper into this. We have these dark dungeons over here on our left side, and sometimes it feels like they're on our right side, and sometimes it feels like the road is tipping, and it's got ice on it, and we're sliding over in this despair and discouragement. It's been my experience that when we're really honest with one another, it's surprising. Can be surprising if you're not used to it. How much time people spend in this place, being discouraged, fighting, resisting, rebellion, frustration, overwhelm, catastrophizing. We used to spend a lot of time fantasizing, but I think fantasy's finally lost its vogue. I mean, is that the word? It's not in vogue. It's lost some of its charm because we know that's not going to work. So we're just discouraged. If that's true, then these principles are even more important. What I was writing about this afternoon was coming to that point. It was a divisive decision in our company. It was tough. I could see it. I'd spent 25,000 hours coaching 3,500 people. I could feel it. I could see it. I knew it was coming. And not everybody agreed. Not everybody agreed. It was so painful. hopefully in time those bridges can all be mended. Because it did come. And it came with a fury. And it's been just brutal for so many. So last week and this week we're talking about one of the very core foundational principles for digging out of that dungeon. And it starts by making a decision not to go there at all. Remember the tomahawk? Not going there today. I'm staying in creation. Had you say that with me last week? I wonder how many of you were saying that this week. Not going there today. I'm staying in creation. All the energy that it takes. Because what we do know is when we slide into that dark dungeon of despair and discouragement, the body releases chemicals that are just deadly. They're designed for physical trauma, not for emotions. And when we allow them, we make that choice to go into that dungeon, we're setting ourselves up for hours of debilitation. We don't want to be there. We want to create something different. Tonight I want to take you into a very special place. Now each week I say this because some of you have been on this line a number of times. You've been through the six qualities, either personally coaching and now you're on the weekly calls, or you've been in a group session and now you're on the weekly calls. Some of you have just been cycling through this a few times. And the question I want you to ask yourself tonight is, am I doing this yet? Am I actually applying it? Are you finding yourself not going there today? I'm staying in creation. Give yourself a kind of a hug and a pat on the back. Way to be. Way to be. Because remember when you just found yourself there wallowing in all of that discouragement and overwhelm? And now you're consciously keeping yourself out of there, as hard as it might be at sometimes. We talked about mental rehearsal, which is much like fantasy in that it's very vivid. It's dealing with something in the future. But our whole purpose now in mental creation is not about escaping. It's not about avoiding. It's not about trying to find ease. We are now going to shift our desire to a different place. This is an exciting place. This is such a wonderful place to be. It's a focus on the needs of others. It's a desire to engage in life. To just take it on, head on, just take it on. To embrace these principles and actually put them into action. Not going there today. I'm going to be in mental rehearsal. I'm going to be seeking inspiration. And then connecting with people instead of avoiding them. Instead of wanting to make enough money to get above it all to buy that tropical island. I joke about this where we can tell people to go to heck because we're sick and tired of annoying people. That can be very true. It's about creating value everywhere we go and ultimately contributing to the world. It's about enriching the world, not being a robber or someone who plunders, someone who gives and contributes. I just had an amazing phone call. It says, I'm reconnecting to the server. There we go, we're back. Got a little bit of a challenge with our internet here today, it looks like. Hopefully we'll stay on. It's an interesting call tonight. It's interesting how this works. There is a power greater than us. Sometimes we waste a lot of time and energy worrying instead of staying in creation and trusting. I wrote about this weekend. About the fact that sometimes we're in those dark nights and we actually are right in the middle of a miracle. We just can't see it. Because miracles are always miracles in retrospect. They're only miracles when we can look back and see them for what they are. So here we are. Mental rehearsal, inspiration, exploration, problem solving, and tonight, goal setting. I asked the question, are you doing this? We're going to explore a couple of things, and it's interesting as I started this conversation tonight that we're sitting here in this cabin. This is a part of a dream. I hope you'll allow me to talk about it since we're sitting here. We've now turned it into an asset where we can rent it in the summertime. We don't have use of it as much when we do that, but it pays for itself that way. There was a day when we didn't have anybody come here except for us and friends and retreats, but we're in a different economy. This time calls for different actions, and one of those is using it appropriately as an asset. But I remember years ago wanting a place like this. And in Ramona's and my plan, there was a requirement for a place like this. And we wanted to be able to create this. We've had this dream for many, many years. And we're working toward it, and then the world collapsed. In 1988 and 89, our world collapsed. We lost millions of dollars. We'd spend the next decade paying back $1 million in debt. That was not an exciting time. And then the last 11 years running the Og Mandino Group. It was in that process that we finally bought a condo just up the hill here. We came here on a Memorial Day, just like this weekend, to decorate graves. Ramona's parents are buried about an hour and a half north of here. And most of our relatives are just over the hill, about an hour. This is kind of a central place, so we rented a condo. And after the weekend, I thought, you know, we spent a lot of time here as children. Both of us did. Wouldn't it be fun if we had a place here? And there was a place for sale just a couple of sections down, a couple of buildings down. So I went and saw them as we were packing up the car. I tried to talk to Frank Smith. He owned that particular condo and half this mountain. And he was getting ready to sell it. So we cut a deal right there in his front room. Came back and we closed the deal, and we had a condo for a while, for a couple of years, couple 3 years, until we started having more and more grandchildren, and pretty soon they were all hanging off the chandeliers and some were sleeping in the bathtub. It was an 1800 square foot condo, and it just didn't fit us all, so we decided one day it was time to come here and find a cabin, a place, the place we dreamed of. And we came here for a week. And Ramona and I began looking. And we searched and searched. We were working with a realtor. We made an offer on a couple of places, but they really didn't speak to our heart. Unfortunately, the offers were turned down. And one night, we were driving down off the hill from the condo, and we stopped just right out here on the street. And we looked over here, and this place was under construction. And I said, sweetheart, that's exactly what we're looking for. That's the kind of cabin we're looking for. So we went to a restaurant. And while we're sitting at the restaurant, I asked the waitress if she would bring me a piece of paper and a pen, and she was kind enough to do so, and we drew out the floor plan of our dream cabin. We'd known this place. We knew what it was going to look like. And after dinner, we drove up and stopped to get on the street, but now there was a pickup truck parked out front. We thought, well, let's go see if somebody's in there. So we pulled up, and at that time, there wasn't a driveway, and there wasn't any stairs up onto the deck. But so we climbed up on the deck and came in the building, and I said, is anybody here? And they said, yeah, we're downstairs. I said, can I bring my wife in and look at your cabin? She said, sure. So we came in, and if you can see, I'll turn this. There's the stairs right there. I walked down those stairs and to the bottom, and I saw her, and I knew her. I said, I know you. She says, oh, you probably know my sister, my twin sister. And I said, well, who's your twin sister? She told me, and I said, who does she work with? And she shared the name of the company. I said, I speak for that company all the time. I introduced myself. She said, oh, I've heard you speak. And we began a wonderful conversation. We looked through the cabin. And here was our floor plan. The four bedrooms downstairs, the three bedroom upstairs, eight bathrooms. It was just fabulous. Wonderful place. We got done, and she said, would you be interested in becoming a partner in this property? And I said, no, we really would rather just own it. So if you ever want to sell it, let us know. Do you think it might ever be for sale? She said, yeah, it might be. And that's all I really needed to hear. As I went back to the condo that night, I was rather sleepless. That vivid visualization we're talking about. I decorated this whole place. I landscaped the yard. We had a number of family reunions. We did all kinds of wonderful things here. And woke up the next morning and woke up Ramona early and said, let's go for a walk. And she could chuckle when I said it, because that's not, she's usually one asking, not me. And she said, sure. So we walked down off the hill and came in here. We down the stairs. We're standing in the basement, 7 o'clock in the morning. And my cell phone rang. And it was this individual. And she said, have you been thinking about it? And I said, I'm standing in your basement. We both laughed. And I invited her and her then boyfriend, who's now her husband, to come up to our condo for breakfast. And they came up. And by noon, we had put together a deal to buy the cabin. Heard the rest of the story. This is not unusual. This cabin was built by an investor. She was using other people's money, which is a great way to do real estate. And she had been unable to secure a loan. That was when subprime loans went to pieces, what, 2007, something like that. And she couldn't get a loan. She needed a partner, or she was going to lose the property that Saturday. That Saturday. This is a Friday morning. The next day, she was going to lose the property. And she felt impressed. She felt impressed. Said, Dewey, let's go up here to Bear Lake, and there's got to be a solution. And in between the time we first saw it and came back, they had arrived. And she'd been out by the creek that runs across the back of the property, down by the bank, crying, pleading to God, saying, I don't know what to do. I've done everything I can do. I don't know what to do. 5 minutes later, we walked in. Now, interestingly enough, they've become dear friends. They've been here every week. We give them a week at the cabin because that's what they wanted. They were just going to have 1 week out of the year. They were going to rent it the rest of the time. So every summer, they come for a week. And again, this summer, they'll come. Dewey's struggling with a brain tumor, so hopefully he'll be okay. But they'll come and spend some time here at the cabin. It was a number of weeks later, I sat up in bed and said to Ramona, you know, we've been wanting to do couples retreats. We were thinking about getting a different home so that we could do them. And I said, we've got 6 bedrooms here. There's 5 suites plus the master bedroom suite. Why don't we have them come up to Bear Lake? And we've now had 60 couples come here to this cabin and have a marriage retreat, an opportunity to talk about commitment and trust and intimacy. We've had dear friends come up and just get away from the craziness of life. We've had amazing family opportunities. We may not always have this cabin. The economy's really weird. But we have it. And the very fact that I'm sitting in it right now bears witness to what we're about to teach. So pull out a paper and a pen. And let's talk about what really matters most. Goal setting has been relegated to New Year's resolutions, you know. We rarely have the resolve to keep them. They're elaborate to-do lists. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and we pretty soon find that action boring and mundane and repetitious, and we quit. It's missing a vision. Our vivid visualization has been so tied up in fantasy or catastrophe, we haven't been using it for what it was designed for. It's absolutely designed to help us create in tangible reality what we dream of. Sitting right here in these, amongst these 12-inch logs and this wonderful place, this healing place where so many lives have been impacted. There was a vision first. I'm going to walk you through a little bit of that vision because it applied to you. If you're in a relationship, and some of you have been through this before, this is your invitation to really do this, really. Take the time to have this conversation. I want you to go to age 85. Now, I picked that date because it's a safe enough date. It's far enough in the future. And I have envisioned, and Ramona's sitting here next with me, and she shares this vision. This is our vision. Sitting out here on the deck of this cabin, overlooking this beautiful lake. And I'm holding her hand, much like I have a few times this weekend. I'm looking into her eyes, and all of the years where she has given so much, and I've tried to give, and she's put up with me. And she knows that I've been faithful to her in every way, totally committed. And no matter what's happened in your life to this point, today is May 31st, 2011. So from this day forward, May 31st forward until age 85, this is what we want to create, regardless of what's happened in a relationship, the challenges that have been here before this day. We're going to change this. I want you to see yourself with this mate. Now, you may not have one, and I'll talk about that in a moment. But for now, just see this mate. Feel this feeling. I wrote this weekend a line in the manuscript. I should probably pull it up and read it to you. It's right after Ramona ran a marathon in St. George. I just watched her cross the finish line, and I ran up to the fence that separated the runners from the spectators. And I could see her. She was bent over, hands on her knees, trying to catch her breath. And that terracotta ribbon, that big ribbon for the St. George Marathon was around her neck, and that medallion was just kind of dangling out here, and she looked up and saw me, and she held up with her hand, and she came to the fence and said, "I did it." Tearful, exhausted. "Yes, you did, sweetheart." And I reached through the fence, and she reached the fence, and we just intertwined our fingers, and we wept. I wrote, this must be an awful lot like the reunion we'll have when we pass from this life to the next, when we finish this marathon called life. And I wrote something to this effect. This is all that we get to take with us. And it's enough. We get so caught up in the accumulation of material things and raising children and trying to pay the bills and all kinds of craziness that can go on. But this is what we get to take with us. Sitting on the porch at age 85, looking into each other's eyes. This is what matters most. The rest will pale in comparison. So what have we done between May 31st and age 85 to get there? What have we done? Well, it's very simple to take this approach. What are you going to do in the next year? The next year. We had this conversation on the way up to the cabin. I asked Ramona what she wanted to do for her 7-day trip with me this year. We haven't got it on the calendar yet. So we're in the process of going through this very, just like we do every year, what is our plan? She told me what she wanted to do and asked me if I would like to do that. I'd love to do what she wanted to do. That was just a great idea. What do you want to do for 7 days? Just together. Just the two of you. I want you to hear all the thought processes coming up. But what do we do with the kids? And we can't afford to do that. Can you hear all those words, all the dialogue coming up? That's why we're doing this. Because that very vivid imagination of ours is going to go to work on solutions, creating solutions to those very challenges instead of being mired over there in that dark dungeon of despair and discouragement. If it's going to have a budget attached to it, then we get to figure out how to create it. Without the vision of it, it's very hard to find the energy to do the creation of it. So I'm very excited about where we're going. You pick your place. Where is it? And just put a note, okay, when we get to finances, this is one we'll need to address. This will be one of our reasons for working a little harder that day, or not quitting too soon, or getting past the discouragement of a lost sale, or whatever it might be. This is going to be the impetus, this seven-day trip. Because we're both excited about it. We can see the vision in our minds of what we will do. It's going to take some research. Oh, we're going to have so much fun getting prepared for it. Now, quarterly. Quarterly, I highly recommend a three-day retreat. If you could do that every month, that would be great, but at least quarterly. Because we all need someone to love. Someone who loves us. And something to look forward to. Let's write that down. Someone to love. Someone who loves us. And something to look forward to. In today's world, with the firestorms raging around us, sometimes it's hard to get through the day, but if we have something out there, we know that's coming. I can make it till then. I can make it till then. And we know that when that day comes, it's non-negotiable. There's nothing more important. We'll be there. Shut off our cell phones. Just be there. It could be a camping trip. It doesn't need to be expensive. It just needs to be. Monthly. A day. At least a day. These are minimum requirements. A day. Don't need to travel anywhere. You can stay right at home. You alternate. 1 month, what would you like to do? And we do that. Next month, what would the other person like to do? And that's what we do. Totally committed. Once a week. Minimum requirement. Non-negotiable date night. Go out on a date. Nothing that's business related. Time just to be with each other, to talk, to listen, just to be. Then daily, an opportunity to just look into each other's eyes, to listen, intrinsically validate. Find reasons to compliment. I once heard that some people are afraid that they're not enough, and so the way they treat their companions so they won't leave them is to demean them. Wow, what an interesting thought. We'll always want to be lifting and building. That draws people closer together, not apart. So here we are with this annual 7 days, quarterly for three, monthly for one, weekly, non-negotiable date, and every day just a few moments to connect, a little extra long hug, maybe an intimate moment. Question is this. If every day we wanted to lift and build and compliment, once a week we went out, and it can be a date where you're sitting next to one another and you turn to one and say, you want to go to dinner? I don't know. You want to go to dinner? You want to go to a movie? I don't know. You want to go to a movie? Which one? I don't know. It doesn't matter. Whatever you do, but we will be together. Be the two of us. We listen. We talk. We lift. We build. We focus on the other person. Monthly for a day. Quarterly for three. Three is like a Friday night, Saturday, come home on a Sunday. And then annually for 7 days. The reason why we have this cabin was because of this plan. We wanted a place we could come to on a regular basis and just be. Just be. Now, you don't need to have a cabin to do that. But I can tell you what, wanting that time certainly drove the actions necessary to create the means buy it. See the vision? There's one at age 85. There's another one of what's going to be done for 7 days. There's another one, what are we going to do this quarter? And we start saying, what can I create? How can I create it? How will this serve? We talked about those three questions last week. What can I create? How can I create it? How will this serve? What can I create? How can... Every time we get a vision for that quarter, something lights up inside of our mind. Oh, it's exciting. Our passion is ignited. We will do what's necessary to get to that event because we can see it. It has excited us. Then we have a monthly event, same excitement, weekly. Ah, Friday night. Daily something that gets us excited about the day. This is goal setting at its finest. Because if we, in fact, have a vision for today, and we execute, this week we execute, monthly, quarterly, annually, and we do that every year from 2011 to the time we reach age 85, what is the likelihood, even at that minimum requirement, that we will have, in fact, created that moment, that which is the only thing we get to take with us? Wouldn't it be sad if we created everything else but that? And then left this planet with nothing. Nothing. If we start here, and I'll mention a bit about relationships. I just coached this last week with this gentleman. I have permission to share a story. I won't mention his name. Coached with him now. It's almost 8 years. I met him on his way to a drug rehab center. Coaching client. Gave him a copy of The Greatest Salesman in the World and called me. They had a long drive and wanted me to talk to him while he drove, and we talked. Got out, we began coaching. And we have been coaching, coached every week for 3 months, and then every month for the last 7+ years. If you don't have this kind of a relationship and you want one, very simple key. I ask him to focus on the person he would want to have in his life. Get really clear. Have a clear vision of her. This is a guy. It could be reversed. Because in his case, the other half was. Once he got really clear, I ask him then, this is over a few week process, I ask him to get clear about stepping into her world and identifying the kind of man she would want. He got clear. Then we did an inventory. What was the difference between how he was currently showing up and what she would be looking for? Differences in places that he attended or visited, behavior personally, secretly, that would be in conflict with what this person would be looking for. We made a comprehensive list. Some of those things were painful to put on the list because he knew he would be taking them on. We took them on one at a time till we got to a couple of the really tough ones. We had some very interesting conversations. And this brave soul did. And I still remember the October day when he called me. Because his soulmate had just walked into his life. And as is true often, she had been walking a parallel path. Preparing herself for that person. They now have a child. We had a wonderful conversation last week because they're planning a second. Haven't told you that yet, sweetheart. And they just finished building and moving into their new and beautiful home. He's got a wonderful, wonderful career, and so does she. And an amazing life ahead of them. And we revisited this topic just last week. Because it's wise for us to stay in that very space that God is there. So if you want a relationship, the secret is not to focus on who you want, but becoming the person they would want. This isn't pretending. This is how are you showing up in relationship to your true self. Is there a little rebellion, a little resistance, a little resentment, a little anger? What thought processes are out of balance? What habits of thinking would destroy the potential for a relationship, a need to fix, a need to be right? It's just the way I am, so take me or leave me, is not who we are. It's just a thought process. So focus on becoming the very fibers of your being. And my promise to you, that person who you're looking for is on a parallel path. And there's a power greater than you that'll bring you together. I just believe it. I've seen it happen too many times. And in situations where people would have thought it was impossible. Wasn't. Lastly, we want to talk a little bit about this business side of the equation. I've been struggling with this. They had a book fair here on Friday. Should we talk when we went to the book fair? And they were selling books by the box. $15 for a box of books. I got some really great titles. And came back and started reading, which was really fun. We just have a different philosophy for how you create. It's not about manipulation. It's not about coercion. It's not about having somebody's birthday so that you can acknowledge it so they will buy from you. It might be knowing their birthday because you actually care about them. Might be a nice idea. I just want you to start thinking this week in preparation for applying this principle. I want you to do several things in order. I'm going to make some notes as we do this, and if you'll do the same. The very first thing I want you to write down is how much income you would like to make in the next year. How much income? Just write that down. It's just you and me. There's nobody watching, so be brave. Just write down the amount. Now, I want you to write down how much you made in the last 12 months. All sources. Just write that down. You're not trying to impress anybody. This is just the truth of it. This is just you. You and the guy upstairs. What would you like to make? How much did you make in the last 12 months? Now take a look at the difference between those two numbers. I want to recommend, with the initial process of goal setting, that we change the first number to be no more than a 50% increase over this last year's income. So if in the last year, for example, you made $50,000, that means you'd want to make no more than 75. Doesn't mean you can't. And Og says, as soon as you reach a goal, you raise it. But if we made 50 last year, why don't we make 50 plus a 50% increase before we get too carried away in considering greater numbers? I can tell you one of the great challenges in this exercise, and I've warned people every time they do it, is that there could be a huge discrepancy between that number, even with a 50% increase. A huge discrepancy between that and what we would really like to make. Let's find out what it's going to take to make the 50% increase, and then find out how willing we are to pay the price of creation. Because this isn't about fantasy. This is about 12 months from now actually having that revenue and that 50% increase in your bank account. That's what this is about. This isn't about talk. This isn't about hype. This isn't some seminar. This isn't some meeting or convention. This is the truth of it. So I want you to get clear on that. Now, to help in this process, I want you to spend some time vividly visualizing this week what you will do with that 50% increase. Get very clear about credit card balances, that 7-day trip with your companion, that quarterly retreat, that monthly day. What are the budgets for those? Build that into your increase, because that's how you're going to pay for it. Because on one hand, we may fantasize about $1 million a year of income, and we made 50 last year, but yet question how we can set 7 days aside to be with a companion. Isn't that an interesting dichotomy? In our mind, we're making $1 million. In reality, we're making 50, and we're questioning how we're going to pay for 7 days. It's time for us to get real about how we're actually going to do it with real money in a bank account. get clear about what you want to do with it. Could be music lessons for the children, dance lessons, could be all kinds of things. Maybe paying off some debt, whatever it might be. Just get really clear. Get a clear vision of what you'd want to do with it. What it would feel like to have that 50% increase and have that money in your hand right now to do that with it. So now we're clear. This is a tough piece of goal setting, because generally we're in fantasy about how much money we're going to make. And what we do on a daily basis does not even come close to approximating the effort required to generate it. We want the two to meet one another. And until they do, reality of revenue will never be realized. So once we're clear, don't be upset. I may sound angry. I'm not angry at all. I'm just reaching out and going, oh, I've done this with some groups who have spent till 4 o'clock in the morning sending me emails going, Dave, they're having a panic attack because it feels like someone just stole their life savings from them. And also when they got in touch with what it would take to actually create even the 50% increase, they're overwhelmed. But that's the reality of it. We want to bring goal setting, have goal setting help us, one, get a clear vision that will ignite our passion, but also drive the action so that it can become reality. You don't want to have a dream cabin. You want to be sitting right here at a dining room table that sits 10 people. You want to be in the real place, sleeping in a real bed, looking out at a real lake. Ramona would probably say with a real mortgage, but she's chuckling. It's the truth of it. You want it to be real. Now, once we're clear on the dollars, we're going to make a transition of major proportion. This can be a tough one to make, but it's one that will drive your passion. You convert your income, what you're going to make, into the number of people that you're going to serve. How many lives will you need to impact with your services to generate that money? How many people? Don't go into confusion. This is such a critical step. If you're in the construction business, what's your average build? How many family rooms you're going to put on? How many houses you're going to build? What's the profit margins? If you're in the network marketing business, how many people will you be recruiting? If you're in the insurance business, how many life insurance policies will you secure? How many lives will be protected? How many families will sleep better at night? How many lives will be impacted before you generate that revenue? Get really clear so you know. This will be the most critical step, because with this clarity, you can build the rest of it. The rest of it now makes sense. Everything else will do. And the quarter, the month, the week, and the day is based on this one principle. We will want to know how many lives we will need to impact to generate the revenue. Because once we know, we no longer need to think about money. Well, that doesn't mean you won't pay your bills and you won't think about money at all. That's not the case. It's just when you're doing the work of it, it's not about the money associated with it. It's the lives that will be changed. We focus on people. And we say, okay, how many people? And I just use the example, say 52, because there's 52 weeks in the year. And I need to find, sell, impact one a week, about four a month, about 12 a quarter. Now I know what I need to do. Now, if I need to find or want to find one person a week, where am I going to find them? Because that's all I'm focusing on. It's not how I'm going to make $1,000 or $5,000. It's how am I going to find a person. And now we start to apply mental rehearsal. I've shared this story before. I just love it. I got an email and called this gentleman right after, coaching client. He was looking for people. He'd done this process. Now he's mentally rehearsing. And he envisioned a man pacing the floor. Can you just see this? I've got my eyes closed for those of you on the telephone. He's pacing the floor, and he sees in his very vivid imagination, it's about 1 o'clock in the morning, this guy's just lost his job. He's crying. Oh, my goodness. Now, it's interesting how close this was to home for him, using his own empathy, his own life experience to drive his mental rehearsal. Wife comes in the room, man turns away so his wife doesn't see him. You come into bed, sweetheart, I'll be there shortly. Then he notices the man look over at his computer like there's an answer there. So he goes and he gets onto Craigslist, and he's going through the ads, and all of a sudden he sees an ad, and it lights him up, and he starts to write down a phone number, and all of a sudden he comes to from this mental rehearsal, and he realizes the ad was his. And he said, what did it say? I didn't know what it said. So now he starts using exploration. He started writing an ad, and he wrote that, and he wrote that. That won't do it. That won't do it. He couldn't find the words that would get someone to do that at 1 o'clock in the morning. He was in that kind of pain, so he kept exploring possibilities without making a tangible commitment. He did not place an ad. He was exploring possibilities. And finally, it came. That's it. If that ad were in there, he would have written down the phone number. And he placed the ad. Got blacklisted in 2 hours. Somebody shut him off. But he got 35 qualified leads. Broke every record of lead generation he had ever done before. He was looking for a person, a very specific person. In his mind, he had seen this person. He had gone into mental rehearsal and saying to the force of creation, I call God, help me see them. He saw them. It was an inspired moment. A man at 1 o'clock in the morning lost his job, goes to the computer. He explores, gets an inspired idea and impression, places the ad, gets leads, finds the person. You can mentally rehearse a lot of things, but if you know specifically how many, then you just focus on where. So you're in the construction business. Who needs what you have? Mentally rehearse. Where are they? What would they respond to? How would you find them? Where would they show up? Let God show you. That's how we use our vivid visualization. Not in catastrophe. Not in fantasy. Those are destructive uses. That vivid visualization is a way for us to connect and receive inspired ideas that light up our passion and drive our action. And when we act on them, there's just a validation over and over again of the source. We trust and are trusted. We know and are known. Self-esteem heals. We find the person this week, next week, and the week after. And a year from now, we've had a 50% increase in our income, and it's actually sitting in our bank account, and we get to do those things that we hoped and dreamed to do. Simplistic. If it were, everybody would do it. We just go back to, well, this is what I want, and I want to go fantasize as if it's going to magically happen. No. We get clear. What is it we want to create in terms of revenue? How many people's lives will need to be changed? And then we begin the process of finding those people. We do the work of finding. And part of that is mental rehearsal. Part of that's exploration. Part of that's inspiration. Part of this is problem solving. The five constructive ways we use our mind. And when we do, we will receive inspired ideas and impressions and solutions to problems. Wired to functional MRI, parts of our brain light up that we normally don't use when we receive one of those inspired ideas. When we act on them, the inspiration is validated. The more we trust, the more we receive. The more we receive, the more abundant our life becomes. So the question tonight is really this. If you're in a relationship, do you want to intentionally create a partnership? Do you want to intentionally create that which will be so precious and so incredibly valuable want one? Are you willing to pay whatever price is necessary for your magnificence to come to the surface, to let go of rebellion and resistance? If you are, you'll find them. If you want to create abundance financially, get clear on what it is you want to create. Get clear on how many lives need to be changed. And then begin the process of finding them and changing them. Serving. I remember the first time this concept came to me, my cup was so empty. I didn't have a clue how I was going to do this. That's why we teach intentional creation. We teach the art of connection first and this second. And third, physical creation. Because if we focus on serving others this way, walls of resistance on their part come down. We're the beneficiary. We feel the joy, the excitement. Our cup is filled and overflowing. And we have more and more to give. And every time we give, we get. It's a wonderful process. I'll close with this. You've heard me say it before. Abundance is not something we seek to win. You don't get it through a lottery ticket. Abundance is not something we seek to receive. This isn't about, I'm worthy, give me my share. Abundance is a sacred process in which we actively participate and eventually become. I encourage you to have courage and trust so that you are trusted. This week, make a commitment to start putting these pieces into place, because with this clear vision and the passion that results, you'll be prepared for next week to go into passion-driven action and physical creation. Until we master this one, the work required is just boring and mundane and repetitious. We want to be able to work passion-driven, tirelessly, doing whatever's necessary to bring our dreams into tangible reality. Till then, thanks everyone. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. And we look forward to being back with you next Tuesday night for a celebration of life. Thanks everybody, and good night.